Should we start over?
Sure. Welcome to another episode.
Go for it.
Welcome to another episode of Opinions That Don't Matter.
Hi.
Hi. Good to see you, Katie.
Good to see you, Sean.
All right. We're here. Katie's injured. We're going to push through it. She's got a very sore back, shoulder,
chicken wing. We call it the chicken wang.
It happens, though. Once you turn 30, it's like the spring start. You know when a new iPhone is coming out and bing,
yeah, and the other one starts like not being able to do updates. And you're like, what?
That's where you're at. But I think that now that it's getting warm out.
Yes.
We make a commitment to each other.
Okay.
Another one.
Okay.
Not as big as the last one, but another
Another one.
And we go over to the pool and we swim. In the evening, you know, just to loosen it up. Because we sit a lot.
We do sit a lot.
So if we just tread water, splash around, I'm thinking that would that be hydrotherapy?
Maybe, but I also think I will see if I can get in to see a physical therapist.
Sure. I think that's a good idea. It worked last time, right? They gave you some exercises.
Yeah, I know what they are. I still know what the exercises are, but I feel like something still needs to be worked out because like they would also massage me like really aggressively with like these, you know, they put the hot, wet heat thing on it. The little heaty
pack. I've never been.
Oh, so they have these big jugs filled with hot.
Big jugs.
They got big jugs. And they're filled with this big boiling water and they take these little tongs and they pull out essentially weighted heating pads that are wet. So it's a moist heat.
I envision this is what goes on first class on an airplane. I always see from my seat.
Those are the towels. Have you never flown? We flew it to Houston that one time when they fucked us coming back from Montreal.
I mean, I don't remember. Remember, I had my own illness going on.
Oh, yeah. And then I was super sick. I didn't even have a voice. I was like, ah, 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 ah. I kill you.
This podcast should be renamed Illness and Aches and Pains with Sean and
Aches
Katie.
Aches and Pains. There's your title. You're always looking for a title.
Yeah.
Aches and Pains.
I'm not very good at writing the titles, though, for the podcast, because the dentist coughed in my mouth did not...
It didn't do well.
Didn't fly out of the gates you like know, some of the other ones.
Some are winners, some are not.
You just have to pull from the news. Like, what's Elon Musk doing today?
Nobody cares. Everybody's sick of the news. I hate the news. But that murder. There's been a murder.
Who out there? Okay, so you're listening along to the podcast. I'm sure you're catching what's going... Well, unless you're outside of the United States. But
yes.
There is a trial, and we talked about it briefly before, but this is nuts.
Well, okay, so South Carolina. So first of all, if you see me reach my arm up like this, it's because when I breathe, my chicken wing ouch, like jabs me. Yeah. And so if I do this, it doesn't hurt, so I can breathe deep. And that's what's happening. I'm getting old. Anyway, so in South Carolina, Susie Q's going to kill me because she's from South Carolina. Or no, she's North Carolina. Never mind. She won't care at all. Anyways, there was a murder of this family, the Murdas. Murda is how they say their name. But it's such a weird... Now that I've heard it so many times said with that accent, I can't even say it without the accent. The Murdas?
Yeah.
Murda.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's how you would say it if you weren't from the South.
I think like Dunna.
Yeah, McDonough.
Yeah.
Murda. But anyway, it's kind of funny, but not because people died. But it's funny because there was a murder of the Murdas.
It's just such a wacky story.
And I think he killed him.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think he killed. I don't know if he did for sure, but it looks like he did.
Well, and I don't know if it's like beyond a reasonable doubt. There's evidence, blah, blah, blah. The blood spatter. So, okay, let's tell people what's happening. Do you want to start?
I really don't know all the details, but what I do know is that he himself is a lawyer.
Yes.
A trial lawyer. So he knows what to say on the stand, and he's artfully dancing around with his answers.
Yes, because he knows essentially what they're trying to do, where it was you and I would be like maybe caught off guard, or we would, you know, it's just different when you're not a lawyer. That's not what you do for a living. It's like me going to therapy. Sometimes my therapist will point things out. I'm like, oh, you're doing CBT now. Like I know the inside scoop. But so this family for generations has run this really small town, meaning they have been like the DAs and the...
And I don't think it's the town. I think it's the county.
So yes, it is the county.
They're powerful. And the county is a vast swath of land.
You're right. It is the county. I was wrong. But either way...
For many miles and many
years, it's been like three or four generations, they've been in charge of the district attorney's office, I think is what it is.
Something like this.
And so anyway, so there have been lawyers and lawyers and lawyers, and they said they've gotten away with everything. So like a kid drunk driving who's a murderer will not get charged and will not be put in jail. He'll be brought back to his parents and, you know, do better next time, like a little slap on the wrist, nothing. And people in the town have become resentful for this. When they're like, oh, they're a murderer, nothing will happen to him. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, a girl died in a boat wreck that this, the murderer's son was driving drunk on a, in a boat, and she died, and nothing happened to him. And people were really pissed. So anyway, so that's like the backstory. There's a Netflix documentary if you want to like really dig in. Flash forward, the father, Alec.
I think that's the son's name, isn't it? Oh, maybe that's the dad. I'm not sure.
Anyway, the dad calls 911 because his wife and his youngest son have been shot at their house, and he was headed over there to have dinner with the wife, which doesn't really track because they were separated and not seeing each other, but that's his claim. She was staying at their other home.
Okay.
That's why there are people like, it doesn't make sense. Like, we were working on it, and they're like, her sister's like, no.
But he didn't shoot them at the house. He shot them at the dog kennel. So it's an estate property of some sort, and the kennel is maybe, I'm going to make it up, but let's say half a mile down the way, and you take the golf cart down through the woods, and you get to the kennels.
I don't know why they'd be there.
Yeah.
It's all very strange.
Yeah. So he claims he went there.
For dinner.
Okay.
With them.
And then they're
trying to reconcile, and then he discovered that they were shot. Right. So it's all very, to me, it's all very suspicious in that. Like, why was she at that house when she wasn't staying at that house, and she was staying at their other house? She had been telling her friends and family like it wasn't working, and you know, blah blah blah, she didn't want to see him. Anyway, long story short, he's on trial now, and that trial is happening, and it's a crazy chess match to watch a lawyer who's been practicing for so long be, I don't know, on trial for and so many things.
The things they're bringing up about this guy's behavior. So it sounds like he was an opioid addict for the last 30 years, and no one really knew. I'm sure some people knew, but I think he kept it insulated or whatnot. And but he was spending a ton of money, and perhaps money was going elsewhere. I think we talked about this last week, but basically he was
siphoning money off his clients and not paying them out. He's like an ambulance
chaser, right? And so someone would get into a car wreck, and he would be the guy who, oh, I'm going to get you millions of dollars sort of deal. He worked for a law firm, and then
and he would get the millions of dollars, but he would keep it himself.
Right. And he did that many times.
Yeah, like tens of millions of dollars. And he admitted to some of that stuff.
On trial.
I think, which is what makes me suspicious. Okay, I want to know in the comments. You let me know. Are you suspicious too when someone, I feel like it's like when you're a kid and you know that you took the car without asking and you drove and you saw your friends, but your parents didn't realize that and they think you just came home late and you'll just own up to it. I came home late. I'm sorry. I knew I should have been home earlier. I was waiting for my ride. So you'll fall on your sword for the smaller instance or incident. And you'd be like, it was me. Ugh. But they don't know that you took the car without asking and there was alcohol at the party. Those are bigger things. You don't want to get caught. And I feel like that's what he's doing. He's like, I lied to them. Yeah, I stole money, because that doesn't come with a 25-year sentence. Or 25 to life or whatever, maybe even more. I don't even know. But I feel like that's what he's doing, because he's like, deflection. I'm a narcissist. I killed people to get their money from their life insurance policies because I'm broke.
He also did that thing. He was like, listen, guys, look over there. And everyone in the courtroom looked, and then he ran away. I was like, the oldest trick in the book.
Ah, they fell for it.
He's running for it. The murder's running for it.
Murder has done a murder. Anyway, it's very interesting. We'll see what happens.
His name is Murda. And interestingly enough, his business partner's name is Liar. L-Y-A-R. But, you know, the Murda.
Are you joking?
No.
Oh, my God.
His business partner's name is Liar.
It's like, no, it was written. Oh, I was like, it's written by like a funny crime author. So it's been interesting. It's on the news off and on as the trial, it's underway. And I don't know if they've rested their case. I don't know what's happening so far. But I've heard clips of it and bits of it. And we watched the documentary.
I think today was the wrap-up.
Yeah, and then they're going to have to deliberate.
Oh, I bet you they come back right away.
Did they have their... So I don't really know. So they might have not had their closing statements yet, because that's usually a big to-do in a thing like this.
Right.
So they'll probably just do those, and then the jury gets their whatchamacallit, directives or directions, and then they go. But it'll be interesting.
Sorry, I didn't interrupt you.
Go ahead.
I talk over you. I get excited.
It's just exciting.
I wonder who's going to get the biggest book deal. Does that still happen? Do jury members on big trials get book deals?
I think so, especially with crime, the cream.
Yeah.
But it I don't know what the laws or rules are with that. But yeah, I love crime stuff, so I'm very interested. I'm going to pivot. So we'll see what happens with that trial. Okay?
Pivot.
If you watch Friends, you know what I'm talking about. Anyways, I have been revisiting Rizzoli and Isles, and I forgot how good that show is.
Oh.
A crime. I was talking about cream. The cream.
Yeah, I never watched it.
I like it. First of all, it's in Boston. I love that city. Such a good city.
From Boston.
From your cousin from Boston.
David Redacted's like, that's not the way you say it. I know, David.
Right? It's such a beautiful city. Is that the city of brotherly love or is that?
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. I was like, I was just there, but that was Philly. That's right. I love Boston. I don't love their hockey team. Sorry.
Oh my God. They're so good this year.
Are they?
It pains me to say that, but they're just dominating.
Yeah. Their goalie scored a goal.
Yeah. Did he ever?
I saw because Max shared on Instagram and I was like, I was excited because a goalie getting to score a goal is pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
Obviously, it only happens when the other goalie is pulled, but he like whacked it with his. It was so cool. I was like, go do it.
That guy's having a hell of a year. Anyways.
I get excited for goalie scoring goals and goalie fights. Those things, like, they're like unicorns. They like don't barely ever happen, but when they do, damn, they're good. So I love Boston. Rizzoli and Isles is just fun. I love how smart Isles is and how geeky and into science she is. And yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I watched it back in the day off and on, never like steadily. And so I don't really know the storylines. I know some things. So anyway, now I'm rewatching.
The beauty of Boston is that
Boston.
It's sorry, super young.
Said it wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bah.
The Boston. Boston. Go to the bar.
Yeah.
Have a beer. In Boston.
Yeah, it's a little known fact that everyone in the Swiss Army carries a Swiss Army knife.
I'd love to go back there.
That's why no one messes with the Swiss.
The Swiss, yeah. But yeah, it is a young city because it has all those universities.
Yeah, it's really vibrant. And, mm-hmm. and it's one of America's great cities. Mm-hmm. Just not their hockey team. Come on, guys.
Come on. No, but it's fun to, like, Austin's a city that also, Austin and Boston.
Austin.
It has a university, and there's a university not far out in College Station. There's tons of universities, obviously, around. But I think it keeps a city vibrant and young. I mean, I feel like I was just thinking like LA. I was like, oh, there's tons of universities in cities. But I think that's part of what the draw is, and the fact that it keeps like good food coming in, fun bars, and a going out scene, live music. Like all of that comes with like the youths. The youths of America. But anyway, and that was like when we went to Charleston.
We're the kids of America, yeah.
In Charleston, there was a university when we went there, and that was really cool. I remember telling my mom, because she was here watching Roxy for us. Thanks, Mom. And I was like, it's so fun because people are always out. You know, I thought it'd be like old Southern, kind of more retired feeling. And right. It was not. It was very young.
No, the kids were doing the Charleston, the dance. They were eating Charleston shoes.
Yep, doing all things Charleston.
Boiled peanuts. Is that from there? Or is that Savannah, Georgia?
No, boiled peanuts are from the Carolinas.
Are they?
Well, I only know because Mamrie is from North Carolina. She loves boiled peanuts, and she brings a ton back when she goes home. We have them here, too, at the grocery store.
I prefer a roasted peanut, but...
I've never had a boiled peanut.
Like moist and like... Like almost peanut buttery, right?
Have you had them?
No, I'm just thinking.
I haven't had them.
Do they boil it in water and oil?
I have no idea.
So it's kind of like.
What do you guys know about these things?
Boiled. Halfway to peanut butterville?
They come in a can. That's what Mamrie gets hers, in like a little pop-toppy can. I don't know. You keep talking. I'll find out more about these boiled peanuts.
I wonder if Mr. Peanut is behind it. You know, he's got a monocle. Don't put me in the boiling can.
Not today.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. So anyway, I am enjoying Rizzoli and Isles. I love a crime show. And I was kind of annoyed because Midsummer Murders has come back on Acorn TV. But like, why do they own it? Because then I have to keep doing the free trial and come up with another email. I'm just kidding. But I'll pay for it this time. It's just annoying. So boiled peanuts are popular in some places where peanuts are common. Fully mature peanuts do not make good quality boiled peanuts. Rather, raw or green ones are used. So the like, not they're not mature, Sean.
mature peanut. But
they make like fart jokes and, you know,
what is a peanut? It's a legume. Mm-hmm. But does it, how do they grow? Do they hang from a tree?
Yes, they do, in a little pod, I believe.
Oh, a seed pod.
Yeah, kind of like, you know, trees that have little seed pods. I don't know exactly what they look like that way. I'll look into that a little bit more. But, oh, it's a legume cultivated as a grain and oil crop, says peanut. But anyway, so they use raw or green peanuts to boil them. Raw denotes peanuts in a semi-mature state, having achieved full size but not fully dried.
Kind of like the Golden Girls.
Mm-hmm, exactly. As would be needed for roasting or peanut butter use. So they need the fully dried ones for that. Green denotes freshly harvested and undried peanuts that must be refrigerated. After boiling in salt water, they take on a strong salty taste, becoming softer with prolonged cooking and somewhat resembling a pea or bean.
Da-da. Wait a minute. It's purple.
Oh, I think that's just the coloring of the... I don't think they're purple. Are they, guys? That's what the picture on Wikipedia looks like.
Oh, I guess the brown is when it's roasted. That would make sense. Yeah. Like a coffee bean is not brown.
So they're related.
They're green.
They somewhat resemble a pea or bean, to which they are related because they are legumes. And a nut only in the culinary sense. And this is the South Carolina boiled nuts in the shell.
Did you know that a pineapple is also a legume? I just found that out.
That's not true. I've seen them. They grow out of the ground. It's crazy how they grow. Like, boop, there's a pineapple. And you're like...
It's a pineapple top and then a pineapple growing on the pineapple top.
It's wild.
It's a Ponzi scheme
of pineapple. It's totally pineapple. And it's a triangle. It's crazy. They had them in Costa Rica and Hawaii. And it was just wild, those fields. And they were just these little mounds. Boop, and then there'd be like a little boop, pineapple. And then the guys would come with machetes and take them. And I was like, what's happening? I loved the Bananaria too. We'll have to go to Costa Rica sometime, or Hawaii.
Put it on the list.
Put it on the list. So the most flavorful peanuts for boiling, get ready. Get ready to plant them, are the Valencia type. Mm. These are preferred in the United States, being grown in gardens. You can start yours today. And small patches throughout the South. Green Virginia type peanuts are also sometimes used. Okay. Okay.
I don't think I'd eat a green peanut.
It says the process of boiling peanuts draws antioxidants from their shells. The boiled peanuts have four times the antioxidants of raw or roasted peanuts. Boiled peanuts have also been studied as a potential way to treat people with peanut allergies, since boiling peanuts denatures proteins that trigger allergic reactions. I did not know that word, denatures. It's a funny word. In one study, boiled peanuts were given in increasing amounts to four patients over time. Some, but all new, not all patients were able to start eating raw peanuts.
Is it denature or denator?
I don't know. D-E-N-A-T-U-R-E-S. I'm just reading it as I see it.
Gotcha.
But that's really interesting. And so the ones that I've seen, these are the ones that Mamrie gets.
Oh, the peanut patch.
Peanut patch green boiled peanuts. Now, there are flavors. There's Cajun and stuff like that. I've seen her have those.
You got Charlie Brown. But you got Linus.
She likes the original. Yeah. Freshly packed. We're going to have to try them. I feel like it's one of those things that I don't want to knock it until I try it.
No, I love peanut butter. So this is compelling.
Right. Is there any other weird... Oh, I do want to hear, to otdmpod@gmail.com. Any strange local foods? Maybe I've already asked you. I know I've asked like holiday stuff. But is there something that you're like, we just have this around all the time? Like, for instance, I'll throw up one from my family because, I mean, we've talked about the weird foods for holidays. But if you, growing up, I don't know if it's so much anymore, but growing up, if you went over to a member of my family's house, they would always have one of two things: saltwater taffy. I don't know why. I used to love it when we go to Seaside.
I think it's an era.
Yeah.
I don't see a lot of
candy dishes jars out
at people's houses.
We always had candy dishes.
Yeah.
But I didn't care. I mean, I don't mind saltwater taffy. It's delicious, but it wasn't my favorite. My favorite was these mints, these little like melt in your mouth wedding mint things. And they're They look like Easter. They're those light colors. You know what I'm talking about? I think they're Brock's. Is it B-R-A-C-H? Yes. I think they're the brand that makes them. But we had those. And we even had a local mint factory. And so sometimes you'd get some of those if people were more wealthy, because those are more expensive.
Right. It's not a glossy candy. It's no, more like a,
it's powdery.
A velvety, powdery. There we go. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. It's like, oh, so good. I love those. And at our wedding, I don't know if you know this.
You had a little sachets of them.
Because my grandma, I got my grandma, she loves the ones that are almonds covered in that. Candy coated almonds, her favorite. So her table only got those. Because grandma likes stuff like that when it's special for her. So we did that. And then everybody else got those mints on the table.
Nice.
As a homage to my family, I guess. Also, they just insisted. And my Aunt Teresa, I think, brought them. Or my mom brought them. And somebody brought little dishes. So it was all done without us having to do anything. It was more like, oh, this is what we need. And I was like, go forth, ladies.
You brought the Washington to the Southern California.
I did. And nobody complained.
No.
I'm sure.
Who's going to complain about free candy?
Also, the funny thing was, and I'm sorry if Rocio or Lisa are listening, and I don't remember which one of you it was. I think it was Lisa. Realized that there were the candy color covered almonds at my grandma's table, at my family's table. And she came up to me and was like, they had the better, what? How come we didn't get the almonds? I love the, are there more of those? And I think my mom or aunt went and got some and put them on their table.
Nice.
But somebody did some candy sleuthing and was like, how come this table has the better nuts? Why, what? It was funny. But Lisa and Rocio do love their candies. So that's, thus ends what I'll call nut talk. So what's going on with you, Sean?
Oh, what is going on? Nothing. I've been seeing really interesting stuff in the news.
Oh, okay.
What do you mean? Oh, okay.
The news. Womp, womp, womp.
Web-based kissing device horrifies Chinese social media users.
What?
Yeah. So, want to send your faraway lover a kiss? A Chinese contraption with warm, moving silicon valley. It's from the south. It's silicon. Is it pecan or pecan?
I know. Oh my god.
Lips appears to have just the answer. The device advertised as a way to let long distance couples share real physical intimacy.
No, they don't at all. It's not real physical or anything.
It's causing a buzz among Chinese social media users who've reacted with both intrigue and, much like Katie,
disgust.
Shock. But yes. Yeah, so.
I'm not interested. I don't need some fake lips pretending to be yours. Do you put yours in one end so that then it like mimics what you're doing?
Yeah, so,
oh, that's so
you put your
weird
lips to this device.
No.
And then your lover, many miles away, also has a device, and the two devices communicate, and then the lips mimic what the other set of lips are doing to the plastic lips.
It gives me all the willies. I don't like it at all. I love you very much.
This is good for long distance relationships. Equipped with pressure sensors and actuators, the device is said to be able to mimic a real kiss by replicating the pressure, movement, and temperature of a user's
gross
lips.
Gross. No.
Hey, has someone been you? Hey, guys. You know, you have some roommates.
No, you know what would be really funny is you're like, were you cheating on me with the fake lip device?
No, but you're...
Or your roommate gets in and you're like, you were kissing my girlfriend.
Oh, my God. I'm going to...
Imagine the ridiculous videos that will come out of that. I cannot wait to see them on TikTok.
Some people have criticized it as vulgar and creepy.
I mean, I don't like it. I wouldn't call it vulgar. I definitely feel the creeps.
Some voiced concerns that minors could buy and use it.
Oh, no. Like, they're not making out anyway?
Right. What if you tricked someone? You're like, you just saw the lips moving, so you know your lover is on the other end of the device in some other town. And so you walk up to it and you let Roxy
smooch.
Lick it. Then you call them. You just kissed a dog, dude.
But that's the thing is, like, it's so silly because it's not real. It's not real smooching. Smoocheroos.
Yeah.
That's just weird.
I don't understand the device, but I'm utterly shocked, said one top comment on Weibo. Weibo is like their Twitter,
yeah.
Facebook, YouTube.
We joined Weibo back in the day.
I did. That was interesting.
That was very interesting.
I don't speak Mandarin, so I had to use the Google Translate, and it didn't
our
go
time
well.
On it was very short-lived.
Yeah. It's like
when
I told...
way over our heads.
Yeah.
It's like when you told that man you loved him.
Yeah, I know. In my eagerness to communicate with people, I sometimes flub my words.
Well, I don't think it was that time. I think it's because of that. The next time I sent you out with some words, I was like, just tell them. I don't even know what it was. Like, I need some, you know, I think it was like, have you been paid or, you know, and I gave you some language to make sure that you communicated that. But yeah, it's, I wish that would be my superpower. If I could pick a superpower, I would want to be able to automatically speak any language.
Right.
I love talking to people, and nothing is worse than being like in Paris, for instance, and feeling like a buffoon and not knowing. And then I'd accidentally speak Spanish, or they'd say, you know, bonsoir. And I'd be like, au revoir. When I'm like walking in, they're like, hi. I'm like, bye. I laughed at myself immediately. And did I say it wrong again? I said that right, right? That's the correct what I did.
What?
They said bonsoir. I said au revoir.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, it's very frustrating to me, and then I feel very silly and disconnected.
It's a barrier. You know, a lot of things can be misunderstood. Misconstrued.
Yeah, yeah.
Miscommunicated.
All the misses.
Speaking of miscommunicating.
Yes.
Steven Seagal, are you familiar with this man?
Yes, he's a horrible actor.
Well, that's debatable. When I was a child, there were several men who
you were a child. Up to, you know. Those men were children. Let's be honest.
You know, Bruce Lee would be one of them. You're like, oh man, that guy's awesome.
And, I mean, he was awesome because he was so physically talented. He did all his own stunts. It was a bunch of, I don't know if Bruce Lee was an amazing actor. I can't say if he was or wasn't because I didn't watch karate.
He's so films. Good. Bruce Lee is amazing. But as time went on, there were derivatives of people who, you know, were martial arts stars on the big screen.
Do you think Steven Seagal was a martial arts star?
Oh my God, yeah.
Would he like swing a stick around?
Yeah, it's pretty bad. This guy's a fraud. I shouldn't say that. I wouldn't say it to his face. He's a giant man.
He's a huge person. But isn't he just like a huge Italian guy from New York? That's what he always seemed like to me.
Seagal doesn't sound like an Italian
name. It doesn't, but that's, I think I put him in the same as like.
Maybe, is it a Jewish last name? Seagal?
I don't know. I'm going to look him up.
Well, it's whatever Siegel. Language is it?
I'm just kidding. Yeah,
Steven Seagal. He's such a cheese ball though.
Oh, he has a seventh Dan black belt in
Aikido. Yeah.
He began his adult life as a martial arts instructor in Japan and eventually ended up running his father-in-law's dojo.
Yeah, Rex Kwando.
That's him.
Yeah.
He later moved to LA where he had the same profession. In 1980, he made his acting debut in Above the Law.
That's right.
So he's from Lansing, Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Now he's from Russia, by the way.
He lives there. It's because of his first wife, Miyako Fujitani. They were married for 11 years.
Uh-huh.
So that's, like I said, his father-in-law. So I think that's how he must have gotten into it. He's also a guitarist and has released 2 studio albums.
That's what I was getting at. So Steven Seagal.
Mojo Priest.
He's such a cheeseball, right? His movies, though, at one point, everyone go see them because it was entertaining and it was the age of martial arts and movies. Mm-hmm. Jean-Claude Van Damme was also at the time.
He's Jewish.
Seagal, I thought.
His mother is of Irish descent. His father was Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
And his paternal grandparents were Russian Jewish immigrants.
Okay.
So
that's his, that gives you kind of back his, to Russia.
Yeah. Seagal stated that he has paternal ancestors from the Siberian city of Vladivostok. How do you know all this? Love Steven Seagal?
No, I know.
Sean's secretly a huge Steven Seagal fan. That's what that poster is up in our bedroom.
Over our bed? That's who that is? Yeah, Steven Seagal,
the guy
Seagal,
with that
baby.
Weird stick. I always wondered.
Yeah. Imagine that.
When he was 5 years old, though, he moved to Fullerton, California. So arguably, he's really from Fullerton. While working with a friendly old Japanese man at a dojo in Garden Grove, he was encouraged to visit Japan.
He's a person who I think drank his own Kool-Aid.
Lot of people. They have YouTubers who've done that where you're like, you hit the Kool-Aid too hard.
Well, he had these movies, see, and they were really good. A 14-year-old kid who likes martial arts, you're like, oh yeah, Steven Seagal. And you would play a tough guy and it would be a redemption
arc. I feel
like
he always had the like half collar, that like sitting up collar that I don't like.
Is that Nehru collar?
I don't know, but
mock
I hate
turtleneck?
It looks like it belongs on a priest.
Well, I think it's a traditional Asian type collar.
It's not my style. I mean,
so, well, it was more the ponytail that I thought was a little cheesy.
Oh, that ponytail was best. Especially when he was like kind of balding on top and he still put it in a ponytail.
No, he didn't go bald. He's got like a full head of hair.
I thought he had a little whoop and he just like filled it in.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know. I don't care enough about Steven Seagal.
Steven Seagal, yeah. So he had a couple of movies that were really good. And there was this one where he's in Jamaica and he's fighting a gang. And the gang, I think
Let me put this into language that you'll understand. Imagine you're part of the Yakuza tribe. Remember whatever Dwight says?
Yeah.
The Yakuza. I don't even know what he says.
Well, he's fighting these Rastafarian drug smugglers in Jamaica. I don't know. The movie's got a funky plot. I haven't
sounds
seen
like it since. Has a plot like much like porn films where you're like, this doesn't make any sense.
Right. Well, he finally tracks down the boss of the mm-hmm. of the gang.
Oh.
And he's gonna
is he part of the Yakuza tribe?
No. They're like bad guy Rastafarians, which I thought Rastafarians were supposed to be good.
But I thought they were like peacemakers. Aren't Rastafarians like, yeah,
right.
Chill out, dudes.
Maybe they weren't Rastafarian, but they're Jamaican.
Okay.
And anyways, so he gets, I think it's in a sword fight with the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends up, I think he cuts the guy's head off.
Whoa.
But then.
Things have escalated.
It turns out this guy has a twin brother.
Oh, of course.
And the guy does. Says, he's got, and it's burned in my brain. It's one of the cheesiest lines. It's like, all men want to go to heaven, no man want die. And you're like, oh, okay.
Oh my God.
But Steven Seagal.
Don't you sometimes watch a film and you think, you had to feel so stupid saying that and keep a straight face?
I think it's the Jamaican who says that to him, though.
That's what I'm saying, but it doesn't matter him or, like, if it's Steven Seagal or the Jamaican, this is still a stupid line, and whoever's saying it's probably like, right. This is so dumb, but.
But it hadn't dawned on me yet. Because I think I was maybe 16 when I saw that one in the theater. Uh-huh. I hadn't come to the conclusion that this guy's kind of a doofus, you know? I was still like, oh, he's an action star at Hollywood, knows martial arts.
And right? You're a young kid. I feel like, quick detour, come right back.
Yeah.
I loved, as a kid, Mary Poppins. Couldn't have loved a film more. Watched it all the time. Loved the fact, like, the cartoon animation and the funny, and the fact that her purse had so many things, and take a little bit of medicine and it all tastes different to every person. And I was like, I love this. And I'd watch it all the time. Oh, my God. And then I got to be, like, 16, and I think it was my friend Sarah Parker and I. We were like, let's put on some fucking Mary Poppins. Let's see what this bitch is about. We haven't watched it in forever. And we were like, this is terrible.
Yeah. So through the lens of a young
kid. So I'm just saying, like, a little, yeah, I was like.
Yeah, you can never go back again. You know?
Amazing. Yeah, but, so I think young you was like, ah, karate.
Yeah, I thought Van Damme was awesome with Bloodsport. And, you know, so this movie comes out and I thought it was great. Fast forward a couple of years and it dawns on me that, you know, because his shine is waning. You know, it turns out maybe he's a bit of a jerk, or he's
rude. Wasn't he an alcoholic too, or something?
I don't know. I think at one point he was a police officer, and then
you're right.
Yeah, and maybe there's a reality show about him doing that. But then there's all these videos on YouTube, I believe, where you can see the guy doing completely bogus martial arts moves, like, "Come on, hit me," you know, and like, and then he'd go like, and he'd throw the guy, and the guy would go flying. You're like, the guy didn't go flying because he threw him.
He did it because you paid him. Yeah, mm-hmm. And there's like padded stuff over there.
Yeah, it's now that I'm older, you look at it, you're like, ooh, that's bad martial arts, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe in theory it's Aikido, but it's more Hollywood BS ego.
Yeah.
That's the name of his martial art, Hollywood BS ego.
That's what I would call it.
Anywho, I'm on the news. This was a long way to get to this point, but I'm on the news the other day.
Okay.
And I'm going to put a link in the description below because I don't think I can play the song here.
Oh, okay.
But he My has God. A song. It is one of the worst songs ever. And he's singing in a Caribbean accent, a Jamaican accent, I'm guessing.
Oh, no.
The lyrics, first of all, are a little racy.
Like racist?
No, like sexy.
Okay.
But like double entendres and disgusting. And I was like, how the mighty have fallen. But I don't think he realizes how bad it is. I think he thinks he's being a cool guy.
Oh, no.
And then I thought, this could only be an album that's released one time, right? Or a person
can release. He had two albums.
He released another one after a follow-up.
I think he paid a lot of money to do that.
I think he made a lot of money and then.
You know what that kind of reminds me of? It kind of reminds me of J-Rock on Trailer Park Boys.
Right.
Although he's actually pretty decent.
I like J-Rock's
raps. Yeah, he's not so bad. Yeah. Okay, so Rastafarian.
It happened to you. It could happen
to me. Rastafarian movement is a religious and political movement that began in Jamaica in the 1930s and was adopted by many groups around the globe. It combines Protestant Christianity, mysticism, and a pan-African political consciousness.
Yeah. Haile Selassie?
I don't know.
Was the king of Ethiopia, I think, maybe? Or he was from Ethiopia?
Yah is God.
Oh, Yahweh.
Jah. J-A-H. Rastafarians believe they're being tested by Jah through slavery and the existence of economic injustice and racial downpression rather than oppression. They await their deliverance from captivity and return to Zion, the symbolic name for the African drawn from the biblical tradition. So,
deliver me from captivity.
I didn't know it was so religious based. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So how bad was his music?
It's really bad. It's
was
so
it
bad.
As bad that it's, as Kim Kardashian's song?
I haven't heard Kim's jams.
Oh my God. We got to go deep internet and find that, because she like delete. It was funny. So I was watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians at the time. It's like way back.
You know what I could do?
What could you do?
I could take that music. Mm-hmm. I can play it on the Spotify version of this podcast.
Okay.
I think, or no, you know what? I can't. I'm just going to put links in the description.
You guys check it out and tell us how bad it is. But Kim Kardashian put out a song and immediately regretted her decision, and then did everything to hide it and like delete it from the internet, essentially. But this was like back in early internet days. And I was watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians when she was like recording it and everything. And you don't really, you can't tell how bad it is, although you think it's going to be bad, and it is bad.
So, you know, there's a lesson to be learned there, though, because that's just tenacity,
it's
right?
It's called jam.
Jam. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Let the girls be girls. Jam.
Oh, jam. Turn It Up.
Oh.
It's a song by American television personality Kim Kardashian. The song features background vocals by singer-songwriter and record producer The Dream. The song was released to iTunes on March 2nd of 2011, and half of the proceeds from the sales of the song are being donated to St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. That's very admirable. Nice of her. Shortly after the song's release, Kardashian confirmed that she had no plans to pull out a full-length album anytime soon. Years later, she admitted that she has regretted recording the song.
Regret nothing.
It's 4.5 minutes long. It's pretty long. Self-released, her own label. It's dance pop. Dance pop pop.
I think a lot of people try their hand at music because you never know what's going to hit, you know?
Yep.
Like Jake Paul, he released songs for a while.
Oh my God, and then,
because he was committed to that lane. That was going to be his exit, I believe, on YouTube. He was going to go from YouTube star to...
Vine star to YouTube star to music. To,
yeah, like a rap musician. God or something. You know? But I don't think that worked. And so then he went to boxing.
Whatever do you mean?
And he lost his recent match.
Yeah, we actually watched part of it. It's fine. It's whatever. Yeah,
it wasn't, you know, someone early in their career boxing.
Yeah, it's just interesting to want to pivot into that. Every time we watch something, first of all, I don't really like that, the violence factor of it. I know people are like immune to it and whatever. And they're like, oh, especially like UFC stuff. They're like, look at their skills and da 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 da. And I get it. And I'm not saying they don't have skills. I'm just saying that it's a lot for me to take in when it comes to like physical violence. And I always think, God, that's a bad way to make a living.
So dangerous.
And he makes money doing something else. I'm like, do something else, dude.
Right.
Don't get hit in the noggin. Forget who you are.
Come up as a fighter and then pivot to YouTuber. Don't go from YouTuber to pivoting and getting your ass kicked. That just seems...
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
You're already famous or whatever.
Because you only
ride
get
that
one
off into
brain.
The sunset.
Some people get two brains, but we'll talk about that another day.
My back.
One brain, right? You got to protect that nugget with all that you can To be willing to take a punch, and sure, maybe when you're young, you don't realize the damage you're getting, the toll. But
yeah, I mean, he's 27. Did we look it up?
See like old fighters?
Well, they can't because you have like TBIs, dude. You're getting like traumatic brain injuries like every day. It's like being a football player, but like potentially worse. And I don't know, anything to do with like harming your body. It was hard enough. Like my dad was a laborer. Like he essentially worked with his body. And the ailments he had just as a result of that. And that wasn't even like that kind of aggressive type of, I don't know, physical, I don't know, job. I don't even know what I want to say. It's just like he wasn't getting the shit kicked out of him every day. But just the physicality of his job was hard on his body.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I watched Conor McGregor kick some guy and his leg broke and like flopped. And I was like, what?
That is pretty gross when someone's leg breaks.
No, thank you. And I saw that twice. It was like within like a month or something we saw too. Wasn't it him and, was it the guy from New Orleans?
That was
Is that when he broke his, Poirier?
Yeah.
That's how he.
Yeah, he broke his leg on his leg.
Yeah. Oh, anyway. So yeah, I don't know why Jake is doing this.
You know, he probably really enjoys it.
Yeah,
but it's a tough way to make a living.
Yeah,
and if you're listening out there and you're thinking about getting into boxing,
don't do it.
Go for it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Instead, go get a physical.
Yeah.
Do some healthy exercise, but don't get hit in the head for a living, please. Thank you.
Oh, Roxy, I woke up the other day. You've seen Charlotte's Web or read it?
Yes.
You know there's like writing in the web and everything? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I got up in the morning and there was kibble on the floor, and she had written something to us.
What'd she say?
I
F like, you?
No, no. I didn't take a picture, but I here she that's what it says.
Sean's got a good joke for us. It's called Roxy Poetry. And it says, run fast, no dog faster. Bark at the delivery man. Now I own my master.
Yeah.
Now I am my own master. I see. I got that flip flopped.
Hmm.
That's pretty good, Sean.
Run fast.
That's your first haiku?
No dog faster. I bark at the delivery man. Now I am my own master.
Mm.
That's what she wrote.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I think it's wonderful.
That's a lot of kibble.
I'm going to call the local news station and rearrange the kibble.
Oh my God. We've been watching that Ricky Gervais show, Afterlife.
So
and
good.
It's essentially that, like they're like a little local newspaper and they go around and people like, our baby looks like Hitler. And they're like, what? And they show up and it's like dressed like Hitler and they put a mustache on it. And he's like, well, maybe if you didn't put a mustache on your baby and dress it up like Hitler, it wouldn't look like Hitler. No, it looks like Hitler. Everybody said. And he's like,
yeah,
okay. But, and then he just tells his buddy, he's like, okay, take the picture. And then he like has to write a story.
But I love Ricky Gervais. He's like, yeah, but it would just look like a regular baby.
If it wasn't dressed up, if you didn't put the mustache on it and dress it up like Hitler, no one would say it looks like Hitler. And the people sit there like dumbfounded for a second. They're like, no, people still would. Mm. And he's like, okay, buddy, take the picture. This is my story for this week.
Small village stuff.
Yeah. It's like where Midsummer Murders takes place.
Right, right, right.
Then they'd have a real story. They should pair up, you know, working together.
Right.
Yeah, anyway, yeah. So, Roxy has been, she's been played with a lot. She went to the neighbor's dog, another Roxy down the street, played for 3.5 hours, was tired for like 3 days. It wore her out so much. And then we took her to the dog park and I think she got a doggy cold.
Which led to some sort of stomach flu bug sort of deal.
Yeah.
Where she's barfing and pooping.
But so not really pooping like. Okay, let's talk about this.
Well, I went to bed and then I woke up at 4 a.m. to the sound of a dog throwing up.
Well, okay, so let's go the night before. Sean stays up later than me almost always. He comes to bed, I guess, whenever. And I wake up at 5:30 a.m. to her going, all the throw up noises. I get up. I tell Sean, I'm sorry, I have to turn on the light. He's not moving at all. I go and turn on the light. There's a little bit of throw up, you know, not very much. I go and I clean it up.
It's like the soupy stuff with a couple of kibble. Like it wasn't a lot, but it was.
Yeah, it was just a little, two water. Pieces of kibble and mostly water or, you know, stomach bile or whatever. I get all the cleaning stuff. I, you know, wet a washcloth, scoop it up, but I do all the things, spray it with the no stink stuff. And then, you know, take her outside, make sure she's okay. I bring her back in, get her bed all. I, you know, have to wash. I put the blanket in the in the laundry. I come back to bed. Sean never woke up, you guys. And the light, the light is on.
I would have helped you. It's called pulling a PJ.
No, but you didn't say it would help me. You just were completely out. And the light was still on because I was still like doing stuff and I want to make sure she was okay. I go back to bed. You wake up at like 8 something and you're like, do you sleep okay? I'm like, I still need to sleep. And like, she woke me up at 5, like she puked or whatever. And you're like, oh, I didn't even hear it. And I'm like, nope. But then the next morning we both woke up with her puking.
Oh,
I know
yeah.
You weren't faking.
It was the next morning.
I know you're right. Weren't faking because you were you
I
were
put
snoring.
The two. I put the two together.
They were
so
separate.
It was the next day, yeah.
When we both got up.
Yes.
And she threw up again.
But, she also left a...
But a little turd.
Threw up so hard.
You guys.
I think she...
A little turd just shot out. It was so funny. If you're a dog owner, you get this because you have to laugh because you're like, what the fuck is happening?
A turd is usually...
Like
shaped like an oval,
like a
or like has like
this was like a round
to it.
Bullet.
It's like she was bowling with a like a dung beetle had made some art out of
it, and
her.
Not even like a runny poop. I'm like, what did she just like? Oh, I feel bad. I can't
like
do this
a pinball
in the house.
Machine. The ball went flying out, you know.
And I looked everywhere in the house, you guys, to make sure there wasn't more poop because I was like, I'm sure she pooped somewhere then. This is just the beginnings of it. Because I went out to get a washcloth and like clean up. And I was like, oh no, here's a poop. And I was like, oh no. Went all through the house looking, under the couch. I'm like, could something have rolled under there? I'm trying to think of where she could have fit her little body all curled. Just yeah. that one little poopsie. But then she went poop outside when you took her out. So, I don't know, poor thing. She always thinks she's so in trouble. And we're just like, just.
Yeah, there's the shame. When a dog exhibits shame.
I know, I feel bad for them.
Yeah.
Her little ears are back and she's like kind of wagging her tail or it's like tucked. And she sits right by you like, I'm so sorry.
That's whenever I get pulled over by the police, I do the same thing. I tuck my tail. I'm like,
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I tried to hold it.
Yeah.
But that little poop was so funny. And I'm thankful that was all it was. Because trust me, there's been others that were not so simple. Anyway, so that's puppy parlance.
That's poopy parlance. Okay.
Puking and pooping.
Yeah. So let's see.
As puppies do.
Steven Seagal, Roxy's poetry.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Let's get into letters because we're behind.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We'll try to do two.
All right. So it's letter time.
Okay. And remember, we are now into 2023. And we are coming in first with our awesome Toronto contributor. Aaron is back. And this is entitled Movies and TV Shows. It says, hello, Katie, Sean, Roxy, and the OTDM family. I said before that I would never see the new Top Gun Maverick movie because I'm such a huge fan of the original. I totally respect that. That's the reason I won't watch this new Sex and the City. I don't even know what it's called. I forget what the name of it is, but I'm not going to watch it. I keep seeing the ads for it. I broke down the other day and I watched it. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, I loved it.
Oh.
That's so good because that's the thing is I'm afraid that if I watch the new season of Sex and the City, that it's going to be like that second movie where you're like, stop trying to get me to pay for things and that are bad. Anyway, I actually put my phone down for 75% of the movie and I cried at the end. That's the true test these days. Will you put
your phone down?
Will you let go of your second screen? Nothing was funnier than having your sister or even my mom here when we watch TV. We all have another device. And we're like, up and down, you know?
Yeah.
And if you don't want to have your phone up, it's good. That means that shit's good. Okay. I totally suggest that you watch it. Top Gun is still my favorite, but Top Gun Maverick is now a close second. I know, Katie, that you like British mysteries. I do. I found the stream service called BritBox. That's what my friend Cassie Ho, Blogalotti, she had told me about BritBox way back in the day. She's like, you've got to do it because she loves British crime also. It's amazing. And I got it recently because it has my favorite British show called The Fall with Jamie Dornan and Gillian Anderson. I feel like that's a familiar.
That was on Netflix, wasn't it?
I think it was. I feel like we watched it or something.
And dark and she's wearing like a reflective vest or something.
Maybe.
Not all the time, but I think.
In the opening sequence? I don't know. A reflective vest. Sure, Sean.
Right,
sure.
But I love the script. But can I wear a reflective vest? I think it would add to my character's persona.
I'll tell you about it because she's going to tell us about it. This is how they describe it, okay? The psychological thriller examines the lives of two hunters. Duh-duh. One is a serial killer who preys on victims in and around Belfast, Northern Ireland. And the other, a female detective. Drafted from the London Metropolitan Police to catch him. Dun dun. The local authorities have no suspects and no experience with cases involving sexually motivated serial killers. Why didn't they call Olivia Benson? She's been doing this for years.
Speaking of which, the trial is going on right now for that guy in Moscow.
For Idaho.
I think that's the next trial that we're going to see on TV.
That guy creeps me out, man.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, sorry.
No, you're fine. I forgot. Frankly, there's so much happening in our world where things are like on fire, like East Palestine. Palestine. It's a little different than like Palestine. Palestine, Ohio, like what's happening there? I worry about people. I think they're getting sick. And the government's like, oh, we don't know. We got shit to do. I can't be there helping you. And you're like, isn't that your job?
I saw that the other day, a meme of that little blonde girl.
Yeah, right.
But it was... Joe Biden's face on her because everyone knows the meme.
Yeah, because you're like, what are you doing? You know, why aren't you there? I don't expect everybody to have answers, but I do expect some action. What about children and animals and people? It's just so bad. Oh, so bad. Does anybody else I just can't even. That's too much. Okay. Back to our serial killers. DSI Stella Gibson. She has experience because you caught me in the middle of a sentence there. She heads a task force dedicated to solving the crime spree with a simple motto. Anyone not part of the solution is part of the problem. The killer? He's Paul Spector, a father and a husband leading a double life. As viewers learn from the outset, he's hiding in plain sight, the protagonist in a cat and mouse game that is every police officer's worst nightmare. Aaron says, I'll warn you and others that it is very graphic at times. But that's it for now. Hugs, Aaron, the awesome Toronto contributor. Thanks for letting me know. I have debated getting BritBox. Sean and I have like talked a little bit about like what our subscriptions are, because I feel like you can, there's so much. Like I mentioned Acorn TV, BritBox, HBO Plus. We've mentioned through the things we've talked about, Netflix.
Yeah, I'm kind of at the end of Netflix
Paramount,
now.
Paramount, Disney Plus.
Disney Plus is too much of ESPN. The Marvel and stuff. That's also...
It can be part of it, or yeah. On its own, right? Because don't we get it on its own?
Yeah, what Crackle, Hulu, Zimzam, Hulu, Amazon.
Swip Swap.
Yeah.
Okay. We have a letter from Rachel. And she says, Rachel, regarding Rachel, correspondent from Pennsylvania, says, ugh, so sorry that happened. Here are the photos. Oh, remember, they wouldn't open. Thanks for sending them. Thanks for reading the letter. What a thrill to be the Pennsylvania correspondent. I'll write soon with lots of recipes and fun facts. I have so many amazing recipes to share. I cannot wait. Talk soon. Your Pennsylvania Dutch friend, Rachel. So her and her studio filled with Pennsylvania Dutch and Celtic folk art. Look how cool. It's so good to see your smiling little face. Oh, yay. Nice. Harley, me. Oh, look at her dogs. And Danica.
Okay, okay.
Oh, Danica, oh, the baby.
Is that a basset hound?
It looks looks like a beagle to me.
Beagle.
And there's Harley. Look at that long leg.
Oh.
That long dog chicken
that is
leg.
A tall dog.
Mm-hmm. Then Harley crossing boundaries. And then the two dogs again. Oh, yeah.
Nice looking dogs.
Yeah, and her holding her original Big Mama Hex sign.
Oh.
How cool.
I don't know what that is, but.
She talked about it in her original letter.
Oh, okay.
And then we have some Christmas photos, Rock in the Snow, and her sweet Rock giving kisses to her firstborn in 08.
Cute.
Super cute. Thank you so much, Rachel, for sending those in. Okay. Now, we have some audio from our Virginia correspondent. Are you ready?
Sure.
I already heard you going, Tom. I'm sorry. Let me turn it up.
Hello, Katie and Sean. It's your Virginia correspondent here with his dog, Whitey.
Hey, hey.
We all made it to 2023. Thank you, Lord. I'll tell you all what. That last podcast was a doozy. Talking about that stalker.
Mm.
It dredged up some other funny memories here I'm going to tell you all about. But I hope I'm coming across okay in this recording. I got a cold here.
Oh.
I had to go into work the other day and think I picked it up off of some of our people.
Your dentist didn't cough in your mouth? That's what Tom's saying. There was no dentist coughing.
In my investments to a different firm and had to get some information on that. And just did my AED check, weekly AED check, the defibrillators. And
oh.
Everybody was sniffling in one building, and God damn it, I got it too now. I'm fine, though. It's just a nuisance, taking a little antihistamines and Sudafed. And
you're handling it. That's like Sean brought the Greep into our house, and I've been using my neti pot. Does anybody else use a neti pot? I don't use it regularly. I did for a while, but I use it to help with congestion. And the cold that you brought into the house wasn't that bad. It was kind of more of like a... just congestion. Never turned into body aches. Never had a headache. You know,
just a little head cold.
Yeah, it was just like a simple head cold, so it wasn't too bad. But we're finally recovering here, and I'm assuming that you're recovered by now because this was sent in, I think, January 1st or 2nd here.
Old Whitey's here. He's keeping an eye on his master, making sure he's okay. And
I like to hear the tippy taps.
With the COVID and the flu and colds going around. Was bound to happen sooner or later.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you, Katie was asking for some stories about people that are interested in us and how we break it to them that we aren't. I got a few great ones for you all. first one, when I was in my early 20s, this predates me being a health and safety guy. I worked at a special school, and here I am, 22 years old. And this one girl that worked for the school, she's 53, and she made it clear she was into me.
I know that legally that's appropriate, but mentally that doesn't seem appropriate.
Mm.
50 and what did he say he was? 22?
23.
23? That's not right, Tom. That's not right.
And I said, you know what? She's into me. It means she's healthy. I mean, one of my things about attraction, I mean, this video could get bad here in a hurry, but try to make it not bad. But one of the ways I knew I was going to survive when I had all those blood clots was I developed a crush and started thinking about one of the nurses. And, you know, attraction's an extra. So, you know, food, clothing, and shelter are basic needs, and attraction's an extra. But
I never thought about it that way, but he's right, because it's almost like the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Like, they call it enlightenment at the top, but that's like extra. But like romance attraction, that's an extra. You don't have to have it to survive. Although I could argue that like our nervous system is primed for connection. Therefore, that's like part of what makes us healthy, happy, all those things. But you don't really need it for bare bone survival. So I agree with you, Tom. That's a fun way to put it.
Anyway, this woman, man, she's 53 years old, got a crush on me at 22.
22.
Oh.
I just said to myself, well, hey, I mean, take it as a compliment. She's healthy. If she's still getting feelings for a younger guy. But anyway, after this went on for a while, I said, you know, I'm just going to try to gross her out. Maybe that'll put a stop to this shit. But
I did that once. Tried to gross a guy out.
Mm.
I just tried to act so unladylike, so over the top, just so annoying.
But I stuck with you.
Oh, he's going to... Rude. Oh, also, what you got on you? Huh. Can't take him anywhere. But yeah, I had done that and it didn't work, but then I just had to come out and say, I'm not interested, because I was like, my other plan is failing fast.
I tell her, she says, oh, the kids are going to be out at the pool soon, Mr. Tom. I can't wait to see you in a swimsuit. I said, honey, I don't know if you want to. I mean, I have a fair amount of body here. And
I got this mole that's been growing.
If you're into guys with a hairy chest and a hairy back, maybe you'll enjoy seeing me in a swimsuit. She said, it's okay, honey. I'll just get you a bottle of Nair. I thought, God damn, that's pretty shrewd of her to do that.
You should have gone farther, Tom, and said, like, I have this weird mole. Could you take a look at it? Actually, she probably would have said yes, then there'd be no mole.
I have a prehensile tail.
Oh, I don't know, the scales, on account of my scales.
Right.
So we had to go to this seminar, and I was a driver. We drove this van that belonged to the school, and she kicked the back of my seat, and I reached over, you know, without thinking, and pushed it away. She said, oh, I love the feeling of your hand along my leg, Mr. Ew. Tom. Well, I just ignored her, but eventually I wound up saying, you know what? You're older than my mom, for God's sake, so why don't you leave me alone?
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, it's like you said, Katie. You got to break it to some people some way when they don't get a hint. Hey, just one other thing to note. I noticed you all were talking about CBD oil. And
yes.
I'll have to put it in my notes to tell a story here about coming across a pot patch here back when I was a field tech.
Oh.
Definitely put that one in my notes. I mean, Katie's probably saying, oh, fuck, Tom's a serious person if he has notes. But yeah, I got this list of stories I'm going to tell you all, and I'm going to add that one to the list. The happenings
in
East Gulf, West Virginia. So you'll be good. Your Virginia correspondent, Tom's always happy to see you.
That's funny, Tom. And I cannot wait to hear that story. We've had friends who, before it was legal, would have like a pot plant and be like, someone's going to catch me. And we went to our friend's parents' house. You remember Evan's parents?
Oh, my. They had a giant. But they were, you know, it's a different generation at that time. Like,
they're hippie dippies.
And
from
they
the
lived
60s.
In the canyons of Los Angeles. And they had a giant, I mean, that thing was
huge.
Oh, like a 10 footer, you know.
It like surprised me because I was like looking at all the, like all their, they had pounds of vegetables and these beautiful flowering trees and then a huge ass weed plant.
The centerpiece.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear about it, Tom. Thank you for sending in your fun stories. I love them. Yeah, sometimes you just have to tell people you're not interested. People are weird and you just, you know, and hey, like
or
you said.
Or they're just not right for you.
Yeah,
you
know, and it just means they're, hey, at least they're putting themselves out there. We got to try, yeah. Right? That's, you know, got to try. Otherwise, you'll, you know, never get to meet cool people. If you want to be with someone, no need to be alone. Put yourself out there. And if it doesn't work, they'll say, I'm not interested. And we say, okay, we move on, mm-hmm. Right? Keep your funny stories coming in to otdmpod@gmail.com. We love you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.